Welcome to the jungle. An awesome Thursday to you. What's going on? My name is Jim Rome. It is great to have you here. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, really good show for you today. Let's get this thing going. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. It's kind of strange. Sometimes it goes like this, but we are going back-to-back in hour number one again. So I would encourage you to call. I mean, I might bust open the open for the right telephone call. If not, I've got an interview coming up next segment. I've got an interview coming up in the segment after that, too. Actually, my bad. Hawk, you got to wake the hell up right now. Dude, I'm not even going to spare you for that. My bad. Mike Dom.
I called it wrong.
I thought we were going back to back.
Yeah, my bad, my friend.
Let's just go ahead and run that thing back. Start me over.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to the program. I am Jim Rome. A very good Thursday to you. All right, this program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It is great to be with you. All right, coming up next segment, I've got Mike Dom. He's a Jackrabbits forward for South Dakota State. I've got that coming up in about 10 minutes. In hour number two, isn't that great the way we kind of evenly distribute these interviews? One in hour one, one in hour two, one in hour three. I've got a member of the NFL Hall of Fame class of 2019, Kevin Mawai. Look for that in the second hour. In hour number three, Mark Turgeon, Maryland head basketball coach, joins me. So that's then. Those three interviews coming up. Telephone number is still 1-800-636-8686. Follow me on Twitter if you don't mind, at Jim Rome. Email me directly at Rome, R-O-M-E, at Habitate.com. Big story of the day, the NFL and NBA trade deadline. NBA trade deadline coming up in less than 3 hours right now. 12 noon, 3 Eastern. We are tracking that. Some deals have gone down. Not the big one that we're all waiting on, but some deals have gone down. Let me start right there. You know, it's a good thing that there's a credit card company that does NBA jersey assurance. You know, that program where if you buy a player's jersey and then he leaves the team, you get a free replacement jersey. And that program is going to be doing business after yesterday. Let me give you a quick mini rundown of everybody who's trying on new gear and posing for new photos today. Otto Porter Jr. lugging his massive contract from Washington to Chicago, while Jabari Parker and Bobby Portis are making their way to Washington. You've got Miami shipping Tyler Johnson and Wayne Ellington to Phoenix for Ryan Anderson. Phoenix now has something like a point guard. But other than three guys involved in that trade and their families, I'm not sure anybody is going to notice. Sacramento, Houston, Cleveland engineer a three-team, six-player, two-pick deal that includes Iman Shumpert, Brandon Knight, Alec Burks, and three other guys who you've already forgotten about. So under this jersey assurance program, if you have an Alec Burke Cleveland Cavaliers jersey, you can replace that with an Alec Burke Sacramento Kings jersey for free. And speaking of Sacramento, that's where Harrison Barnes is going to ply his trade now that he's been moved from Dallas for Josh Jackson and Zach Randolph. So on the surface, that right there is a pretty interesting trade. In reality, it's kind of insane because the trade went down during the Mavs game, either while Barnes was in the game or was on the bench. His numbers for last night, 26 minutes, 10 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 new team. Philadelphia, sent Malachi Richardson, a 2022 second-round pick, and draft rights to a 31-year-old guy playing in the Turkish League in exchange for the greatest piece of all, cash considerations. And last but not least, the New Orleans Pelicans are making a trade, except it's sending Wesley Johnson to Washington for Markieff Morris and a second-round pick in 2023. Of course, the Pelicans did not trade Anthony Davis last night, but there is a theory floating around as to why that is, and it's absolutely amazing. Yesterday, Rachel Nichols asked Brian Windhorst if it's possible that the Pelicans were ever seriously interested in dealing with the Lakers, or if all the talks and leaks were designed to sabotage the Lakers as revenge for what they believed to be tampering with Anthony Davis. Windhorst's response was, quote, "It's not just possible, it's what happened." And then he went on and said, quote, "The Pelicans had a method to their madness in the way this went. Did they know it was going to lead to a 40-point loss because everybody's upset? Not necessarily," end quote. All right, so as this theory goes, this is absolutely amazing. Like revenge, sabotage, you know, where do I sign up? You can't pop enough popcorn for me to check this out. If that's true, that is one of the greatest, coldest moves ever. That's some Game of Thrones bleep right there. Like the reps for Anthony Davis, as the theory goes, the reps for Anthony Davis created all this chaos for New Orleans with the announcement that he was not going to re-sign with the Pelicans. The Lakers jump in and they tamper. They create more chaos. So what do you do at that point? Do you panic? Do you rush to make a deal with the Lakers just to make it all end because there's so much chaos and you're panicking and it's uncomfortable? No. No, quite the contrary, because according to this theory, if you're GM Dell Demps, you actually use it. You see, according to this theory, Dell Demps looked at that chaos and realized the chaos is not a pit. Chaos is a ladder, and he started to climb. According to said theory, he kept getting LA to offer more and more players and then allowed that information to get out, so that everybody knew who L.A. thought was disposable, who L.A. thought was tradable, who L.A. put on the block. So everybody in that locker room knew who L.A. thought was disposable. So nobody in that locker room felt safe. And then they all start to be insecure, and they start to question themselves, and start to question whether or not LeBron wants to play with them, whether or not Magic wants them. Like, oh, you're going to offer us two of your young players? Which ones? Brandon Ingram and Josh Hart. Yeah, nah. Why don't you give us a little more than that? Meanwhile, the leaks continue to come out to the media, so these guys know that the team is talking about them and may not want them. And then the next offer comes in. And then the next offer. And that gets leaked too. And it gives you the impression that it's close, but you really need some more. You need more names, more options. After all, you're asking us to give up our Hall of Famer. So you better sweeten that pot. Then it's a combination of Ingram, Hart, Kuzma, Ball, and all of that gets leaked. And if you're New Orleans, you're thinking, how can we make this better? How do we make this better? How do we drag even more names into this? How can we jack with more heads in the Laker locker room? What if we ask them to take Solomon Hill off our hands for salary cap relief? Suddenly then the deal is Ball, Kuzma, Ingram, Rondo, Stevenson, Beasley, and some draft picks. Before you know it, everybody not named LeBron is in that deal. And everybody not named LeBron is freaking out that they're about to be dealt. And look what that led to. The reported incident in the locker room after the Golden State game. The chance in Indiana
against the Lakers is you can offensive rebound them, but most importantly, you have to transition back for defensive purposes to force them to play through your defense.
Brandon Ingram in his third year out of Duke. He averaged 16 points last year in year two.
That's what that led to. The chance, the beatdown, the image of LeBron on the bench with three empty seats separating him from the rest of the team. A team that had been rolling earlier in the season, now in shambles. and one that might be pretty freaking hard to put back together. Like, what if they don't make that deal? And it doesn't look like they're going to make that deal. Then you've got to bring all these guys back. You got to bring all these guys back because Dell Demps smashed them up. If it's true. If it's true. If it's true, Dell Demps took what looked like an impossible situation and he made it amazing. You think you have leverage? You think you've got the hammer? You think you've got something over me? Yeah, well, I'm going to work in the shadows and in the trade rumors, and I'm going to poison your drinking water, salt your fields. I'll make you waste a year with LeBron. Maybe another one if you ever want to get your hands on Anthony Davis as a free agent. You jack with our chemistry, I'll destroy yours. I'll jack with the heads of your young guys. I'll have them taunted and wrecked in every arena. I'll make your whole organization seem dysfunctional. I'll make it seem like nobody wants to go there. I'll make it seem like Magic doesn't know what the hell he's doing. Nobody will want to go there. Nobody will want to sign there. I mean, that is some genuine warlock stuff. Some epic spycraft. That's not just some Game of Thrones bleep. Let me tell you what that is. That's some Big West bleep. That's the Dell Demps you're coming for. Dell Demps, the pride of Pacific. When you mess with the Pelicans, you're messing with the Big West. And you do not want to mess with the Big West. That's the conference of Jerry Tarkanian, Armin the Hammer Gilliam, B. Shaw. Do I need to continue? Larry Johnson, Stacey Augman, J.R. Ryder, Anderson Hunt, Connor Henry, Greg Anthony, Eric MacArthur, Cedric Sabalos, Leon Wood, Bruce Bowen, Gary Gray. What I'm telling you, Idris Jones. What I'm telling you is that you do not come out of the Big West without being tested in the harshest fires. If you survive the Big West, you survived on talent, skill, and most importantly, toughness. You will not put a Big West legend in a corner. You will not try to get a Big West legend to back down because you'll pay the price. And it may be immediate. It may take time. That vengeance may come in the way that you most expected or in the way you least expected. But know this, the Big West remembers. The Big West never forgets. Go ask Jerry Pym. If you want to mess with the Big West, know this. We do not forgive. We do not forget. Man, expect us. Dell Demps will probably never admit that he did this. He'll probably never admit that this was his plan to exact revenge. But he doesn't have to, because it's working, and it's spectacular. This isn't just impressive. This is legendary. If all of this is true, there should be a banner in the New Orleans rafters with Dell Demps' name on it. Did you ever jack with the Big West? Or Dell Demps, Pacific's finest. I see you working, Dell. Allegedly. When we come back, South Dakota State, Jackrabbit forward, Mike Dom. You know, now that I've been sleeping on my Casper mattress, I'd pick it over every mattress I've ever had. It helps me get the best night of sleep ever. Once you try Casper, you're going to love yours too. Casper is a high-quality mattress at an affordable price. I sleep cool and comfortably every single night thanks to the unique combination of foams that provide the right pressure relief and alignment. Casper ships right to your door for free in a small, how'd they do that? Size box. They'll even pick it up if you don't love yours, and they will refund you everything. From its engineering to its packaging to letting you try it for 100 nights, it is no wonder Casper has over 35,000 five-star reviews of all their products across Casper, Google, and Amazon. Put Casper to the test for 100 nights risk-free. Go to Casper.com and use the code ROME for $50 off towards the purchase of select mattresses. Casper.com, code name ROME. And get $50 off towards the purchase of certain mattresses. Again, Casper.com. Terms and conditions do apply. Additional fees may apply for Hawaii and Alaska.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. NBA trade deadline today, of course. Gave you my thoughts at the very top. Let's talk some college basketball. We are joined right now by a forward for South Dakota State, a two-time Summit League Player of the Year, a Wooden Award finalist. 28 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists, and a couple of blocks in Sunday's win over Denver. He's averaging 25 points and 11 rebounds this season. He passed Larry Bird on the all-time NCAA scoring list. South Dakota State, 19-6. They're 9-1 in conference play, and they are hosting North Dakota on Saturday. Mike Dom is my guest. Mike, it's great to have you on the show. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you for having me on, Mr. Rome.
Really good to have you. Mike, nice to visit with you. Listen, before we get into the records that you're setting right now, you got to take us back a little bit. You're from a small town in Nebraska. For those who do not know, Mike, what is the name of that town, and what was it like growing up there?
Yeah, it's a small town on the western side of the state called Kimball, Nebraska. It's about 2 hours north of Denver, Colorado. I'm all the way over in that panhandle, and it's kind of a small farming town. Growing up there was definitely an experience that I was very grateful to, you know, be a part of. My parents very hardworking and making lots of sacrifices for me to be in the position I am today.
And Mike, you're growing up in a town of less than 3,000 people. That's how small that was in rural western Nebraska. Pretty safe to say that you're not going to be on the radar of a lot of college basketball programs. So when did you first get into basketball, and how much of that love of the game comes from your mom, Michelle?
Yeah, I was able to get into the game of basketball at a super young age. I mean, it seems like ever since I was born, my mom had a basketball in my hand, and I'm just very grateful for that just because I did. I fell in love with it right away, and I kind of fell in love with the grind of, you know, early mornings going to the gym and late at night staying at the gym. And my mom was a huge reason for that. You know, she was a basketball stud herself going through college and then into the professional world a little bit. And, you know, she's the one who pushed me every day. And then with my dad, too, you know, seeing how hard he worked and how hard he was able to sacrifice for me to get to where I am today, I'm just very grateful for both of them.
Mike Dom joining us. You mentioned your mom was a stud, and that's true. She's a University of Wyoming basketball legend. The two of you used to work in your high school gym at night running drills, and you fell in love with the grind, and a lot of that grind came from her. What were those sessions with your mom like?
They were intense. You know, when I was younger, it's crazy. I kind of go back and we laugh sometimes that, you know, she used to film my fourth and fifth grade basketball games, and we'd go home and watch film, and she would criticize me on things I needed to do better. And then, you know, late at nights as I got older, you know, we'd get into the gym more and more, it seemed like, and there'd be some intense nights where there'd be a little bit of yelling, and we'd kind of go back and forth at each other. But at the end of the day, you know, it was just the grind of basketball, falling in love with doing what I did, and she was the one who ultimately pushed me to, you know, kind of get to where I am.
You know, not to belabor that point, but that's your side of it. She also said, she told ESPN this, quote, "Sometimes we would really clash, and I'm like, fine, you want to be a bleep, back out. That's fine. We don't have to do this, but if you want to get to where I was, you got to work at it. It's nonstop. I don't care about the blisters. I don't care. He never quit on me. I was really hard on him. I really was. Quote, I'm the badass mom. I am." I mean, did the two of you really go at it like that? And then how much of your toughness on the court comes from your badass mom?
Yeah. I mean, we really did go at it. I could tell you about the countless times that we'd be in the gym, and I mean, it just seems like we were throwing cuss words left and right at each other just because she knew my potential. She knew how bad I wanted it. I knew how bad I wanted it, and I think that, you know, that's just the type of parent she was. You know, she was hard on me, but she knew I could take it. She knew what it took to get to the next level and what it took to, you know, play at the next level, and I wanted to feed off that, and, you know, I loved it. You know, now that I look back on it, I loved it, and I wouldn't have traded any of that in for, you know, anything. And then the toughness comes, you know, a lot of it does come from my mom. She was the badass, and, you know, I'm just very grateful that, you know, she pushed me as hard as she did when I was young.
Mike Dom joining us. You know, you mentioned that she saw the potential. There's another one of those moments where you hit 40 or 50 threes in a row, and she got really emotional, and she grabbed you and said, "You have no idea the potential you have." Coming from her, coming from an All-American and a member of the Wyoming Athletics Hall of Fame, what do you remember about that moment, and did that resonate with you?
It definitely did. You know, that moment was special for me, too, because, you know, as I come up through high school, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. You know, I loved basketball at such a young age, and it was my favorite sport, and I loved watching it. I loved being a part of it. But as I come up and get older, you know, my freshman year of high school, I wasn't playing much varsity. I really didn't know where I wanted to go in that direction. And then, you know, I had nights like those where I would do things like that. And like you said, that one specific night when I hit, know, however many threes in a row, she pulled me aside and she said, you know, you have no idea how good you want to be. If you really want this, you know, you have to work at it. You have to commit to it. And I think that was definitely one of the defining moments when I was younger of like, okay, you know, this is what I want to do, and it's going to take a lot of hard work to get there, but I'm ready to do it.
All right, so Mike, you knew what you wanted to do, and you knew the price you were willing to pay. But at that time, how much interest were you receiving from D1 basketball programs?
Honestly, not much interest at all. You know, I was very grateful to fall into a great program of AAU out of Fort Collins, Colorado, with the Rocky Mountain Fever. And, you know, for me, like I said, my freshman year of basketball, I wasn't playing much varsity, but I was, you know, very fortunate to get picked up by this AAU team and was able to kind of start getting my name out there to those smaller D1s. And then, you know, as we went along, it picked up a little bit more and more, it seemed like, each year. And I'm just very grateful to be in the position I am here at South Dakota State.
All right, so that AAU team was pretty key. How long a drive was that, and then what was that team like?
It was about an hour and a half drive, hour and 45-minute drive every 2 weeks, or every, two times a week, and then on top of that, I would actually drive back down three more times a week just to work out with my AAU coach individually. And, I mean, the team was a blessing for me. I was very fortunate to get in with a group of guys who were, you know, we all had the same mindset. We just wanted to help each other succeed. We wanted to have fun with each other. And that's what it made so great for me. And my AAU coach, Brandon Valdez, was a great mentor for me during that entire time. And I think he saw the same potential in me as my mom did. And that kind of helped boost me over the top with how hard I wanted to work to reach the next level.
We're talking to Mike Dom. So you had a legendary performance at a tournament in Las Vegas before your senior year, and people start to take note, and then South Dakota offers you a scholarship. What was that moment like, and then what was it like when you got to campus?
It was amazing. I remember sitting on the tractor. I was with my cousin. We were plowing fields, and I remember getting a call from Coach Nagy at the time, and they offered me a scholarship. And then that next week, I was able to take a trip up here to Brookings to get a feel for the campus. And the moment I got up here, I fell in love with it. The Brookings community has been so welcoming ever since I got here. The teammates I had my freshman year when I first came in were super welcoming, super down to earth, just a great group of guys. And then the coaching staff, I can't talk enough on how great those guys were to me when I first got here. So I just knew it was the place to be.
Yeah, but still, Mike, it was not easy. Like T.J. Otzelberger said that when he arrived as head coach, he was told that there were questions about whether you'd be able to play at South Dakota State. He told CBS Sports, quote, they weren't wondering when he'd ever play here. They were wondering if he would ever play here. They didn't know if he was ever going to be good enough to play at this level. So what do you remember about that redshirt year? Is that how it felt to you?
It definitely did not feel that way to me at all. You know, for me, I did. I came in with two other freshmen, and both of those guys were able to play right away. And I kind of got a feel, you know, that first week of summer workouts, you know, it was kind of eye-opening for me going against the bigger guy. Cody Larson was there, a senior my freshman year, and I remember going against him. And I knew I wasn't ready for the college game yet either. So me kind of taking that redshirt year, I really didn't think anything of it. The only thing I wanted to do was do anything I could to help this team succeed. And I kind of took that mindset into my redshirt year. I was the only one who redshirted that year, and I spent, you know, a ton of time with my strength and conditioning coach, Eric Adolph, and he was kind of the one who helped me get through that year just because, you know, I wasn't playing. I was just practicing 24/7, extra shooting, and then it was just heavy, heavy lifting. And I just remember, you know, really keeping my head down, you know, not worrying about what was going on, and just kind of kept my focus and just kept working.
Now, Mike, your coach has said that at some point something clicked. They're not exactly sure when that was. Do you know when it was that you realized that you were not going to be a role player or even a starting player, but you could be something special?
I would say it was actually the year I redshirted. Near the end of the year, we were in the NIT, and we got to play against Colorado State. So I was on the scout team at the time, and I got to emulate one of the players, and it was JJ Avila. And I remember I kind of just, you know, Colorado State at the time, he had the freedom to do whatever, and I remember just playing scout team. And I was kind of just dropping buckets left and right. And I think that was kind of a moment for me where I said, you know, I can help this team a lot. For me, at the time, I really wasn't looking at anything personal. I wasn't looking at, you know, what I could do. You know, personally, I was just thinking, you know, I can help this team, you know, win and succeed this upcoming year. And then that kind of helped lead into, you know, my redshirt freshman season for South Dakota State.
You know, Mike, you could help this team a lot, or you could pass Larry Bird on the all-time NCAA scoring list. I mean, Larry Bird, what's it like for you to see your name above his on the all-time scoring list? Does that even feel real at this point?
It really doesn't. You know, it's a blessing to even be mentioned in the same sentence as Larry Bird. You know, he's one of the greats, and it's truly an honor, you know, just to be a part of that list, be a part of something special. But, I mean, there's so much more behind that than just having your name on the list. I mean, it was the countless hours in the gym before. It's been the entire, you know, organization of South Dakota State. It's been all the great teammates I've had, all the coaches I've had who have been able to help me reach this position.
You know, finally, Mike, after last season, there was talk that you might enter the NBA draft or you could transfer to a bigger program. Nobody would have faulted you for doing either one of these things, but you decided to go back to South Dakota State. What was the decision-making process like, and what led you to return to Brookings, South Dakota?
Yeah, my mindset and kind of, you know, choosing a decision there during that time was kind of simple. You know, I wanted to put my name in the draft ultimately to see if I would get that NBA Combine invite. And kind of once I knew I wasn't invited to the Combine, it was an easy decision for me to choose to come back to South Dakota State. You know, I commend my head coach, Coach Otzelberger, so much just because when he was first hired here, you know, he was worried about building relationships with us players, who was, you know, a group of guys who were kind of unsure of what was going on. I knew some of us were thinking about transferring when our old coach Nagy left. We didn't really know what was going on. We weren't sure of the situation that was going to happen for us in the future. And when Coach Otzelberger came in, you know, he kind of just took us up to a whole nother level, built relationships with us that I know will last way past college and way past basketball. So for me, I had a solid core group of guys that are here with me now. You know, my teammates are super important to me, and I want to see those guys succeed. I want to give those guys, you know, the best years of college that I can while I'm here. And then, you know, the coaching staff has been phenomenal. And I just knew this was still the place to be for me. This was the right fit. And, you know, for me, it's super important that, you know, when I go somewhere and I start something, I want to finish it there. And, you know, just giving this Brookings community my all is something that was super important to me.
A South Dakota State forward, a two-time Summit League Player of the Year, a Wooden Award finalist, just passed Larry Bird on the all-time scoring list for the NCAAs. And, my man, you couldn't be any more polished off the floor than you are on. Mike, really nice to have you on the show. That's a great conversation. Really well done, Mike.
Appreciate you. Thank you so much for having me on.
Appreciate you very much, Mike. Well done. Could not be more impressed with him. What a great backstory. And he's earned everything he has. That is an extremely polished guy. And again, both on and off the floor. He's closing in on 3,000 points. Only eight guys have scored 3,000 points in NCAA history. Guys that he will likely pass this year. Elvin Hayes, Danny Manning, Oscar Robertson, and already on top of Larry Bird. Hey, Hawk, have you heard of any of those guys? Larry Bird, way to go, Hawk. It's Mike Dom, South Dakota State forward. That's a really good interview. All right, we are coming right back. Coming up next hour, I've got Kevin Mawai, NFL Hall of Fame class 2019. Trade deadline is coming up, 12 noon Pacific, 3 Eastern. Number of trades have already gone down. We're tracking that all morning long. Anthony Davis still exactly where he was. I led with that. I want to talk about Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant has not had very much to say lately, and yesterday he got into it with the media, and I want to get to that. Also, Baker Mayfield did not win the NFL's Rookie of the Year award. And if you think that he did not notice that, think again, and I love it. Kind of lost track of fact, or lost track of this fact over the weekend because of the Super Bowl, but Sergio Garcia, still a bag. Derek Jeter, got an update on him and what he's doing to turn his team around. Nothing important. All that's still ahead. First up, though, here is a bottom of the hour sport.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Mike Dom from South Dakota State getting a lot of positive reaction. You never hear a college player come off like that. The Real K-Shaw tweets at Jim Rome. I can't believe this guy Mike Dom is a player. I thought he was the coach. Great interview with a sleeper player. Thanks, Nags. Again, not really a sleeper. If you pay attention, that guy's not a sleeper. Only 8 players have scored 3,000 points in their career. He's going to be one of them. Number 15 all time. He just jumped over Larry Bird. At Denny Hit Diggs tweets, is there any way we can get Mike Dom's mom to call in and rip a golden ticket? She sounds like she spits straight fire. And his father, if I'm not mistaken, was actually a football player in Wyoming. So it's not like he was not involved. He was really involved. But she was the All-American, and she played basketball, and she was the one who was in the gym with him. And just grinding and grinding and pushing him and pushing him. Mike in Buffalo tweets, I hit 40 to 50 threes in a row, too. Signed, Mark Grace. Mark Grace, a slump buster reset. Is that the same Mike in Buffalo who's helping him? Yeah, Mike, that's not helping him.
That's not helping kids.
Mark Grace. I can't remember the last time I talked to Mark Grace. I can remember where Mark Grace lost interest in talking to me. But that slump busting take got a lot of run for a long time. You know, if I were to play that thing right now, do you have any idea how many problems that would create for me and him both? I mean, can you even play any of that, Alvy?
I love the naked pictures of the 250-pound babes.
There you go. That's part of it right there. Orion Escaped Waterford. That's his handle. He tweets, my favorite part about the NBA is not the games, not the players, not the teams, not the playoffs. It's the chaos. I love the madness. War team content. Wells in the 360 tweets, this is Dell Demps' version of icing the kicker, and he executed it perfectly. Yeah, that's not a real good look, is it? Dell Demps getting over on Irv. Dell Demps getting over on LeBron. Dell Demps getting over on the Lakers. Dell Demps getting over on everybody. Did Dell Demps really have any interest or desire or intention of trading AD to the Lakers before the deadline? It, granted, it's not the deadline. He might still. But I doubt it. Why would he? Why would he make a move right now? If I try to make an argument as to why he should not wait for the summer, I guess I can make the argument that, well, AD might get hurt. I guess I can make the argument that the best package out there might be the one that Boston has to offer because of Jason Tatum. The Tatum is the best player involved. The Tatum is the best player to be involved in a package. I mean, obviously way better than anybody the Lakers have to offer. What if Tatum gets hurt? I mean, what if anything happens between now and summertime that might change it all? I guess I could make that argument. But if I'm Dell Demps, and I don't need to be, Dell Demps has obviously got this under control, he's going to wait for the best package that he can get. And most importantly, you know what's laughable? It's laughable that the Lakers were going to, quote, stop negotiating. You know what's even more laughable than the Lakers stopping negotiating? And that's a joke. Because they have to have this guy. And they've got to get him before anybody else does. So that's a joke. Even more laughable than the Lakers ceasing negotiation is the Lakers saying, you know that package we offered you? The one that you won't even respond to? Yeah, that might not be there in the summertime. So you better take it right now because it might not be there. Sure it will. Of course it will. They have to have this guy. Because if they don't get AD, who's coming? KD? Doubt it. Kyrie, doubt that. Kawhi, you trust Kawhi? You have any idea what the hell Kawhi is going to do? Or what Kawhi's thinking? Oh, no, they got to have this guy. They got worked. Never, ever mess with the Big West. At UPS Driver 209 tweets, while the Lakers are playing basketball, Dell Demps is playing the Game of Thrones. Well, Dell Demps. If you didn't know him before, you do now. Magic? Palinka? Jeannie Buss? The Lakers? LeBron? Team LeBron? And Dell Demps is getting over on all of them? You know why that is? Big West, baby. Don't mess with it. Let's go to Los Angeles. Scotty freaking Brooks. Don't you forget about Scott Brooks. Don't you forget about Scott Brooks. Big West. Lucius Harris. My man Tommy Tolbert. Before he went Final Four with Arizona, Big West. Big West. Where was Tommy T? UC Irvine, yo. Don't you forget it. Don't you forget it. Seth Greenberg, Big West. Let's go to Los Angeles.
Yo.
KC. KC, what's up?
Yo, what's crackalacking, Jimmy Jam?
My man, KC in LA. Good to hear your voice. What's up, dude?
It's been a minute, dog. It's been a minute, man. Look, this just in. Romy, the Lakers have upped their trade offer to the Pelicans to include 6 players, 4 draft picks, Staples Center, the statues out in front of Staples Center, Disneyland, Magic Mountain, L.A. Traffic, and Universal Studios, all in exchange for Anthony Davis and a year worth of smoothies. Are you kidding me? Dale Demp just played the Lakers and Magic like a bass fiddle and smacked them all upside the head. And it's because the Lakers are desperate. An organization that at one time was the model organization in sports, 16 championships, 31 NBA final appearances. Let me go some history for you. When the Lakers traded 4 Wilt Chamberlain, they traded away 3 players. When the Lakers traded 4 Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, they traded away 4 players. When the Lakers traded Shaquille O'Neal to Miami, they got back 3 players and a number of picks that turned out to be Andrew Bynum. That all added up to 11 NBA championships. So you're telling me that you're going to trade for Anthony Davis and send the entire Laker team, which probably should include Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka, and we're going to win 11 championships? I don't think so. Pump the brakes. Everybody needs to get back in their lane and look at this for what it is. Yeah, Anthony Davis is good. But last time I checked, his team's won 1 playoff series. And he don't have any MVPs or anything else behind him, and he's injury prone. See, so, too, I'm the guy who, when the Lakers got LeBron and when LeBron signed with the Lakers, because they didn't really sign him, he signed with them. A blind man could have signed LeBron. Stevie Wonder might as well be the GM. I wasn't so wet about it because the Lakers are getting the 34, 35, 36, and 37-year-old LeBron. We see he's starting to break down, and there's always drama coming. So here's my advice to you, Magic and the whole Laker crew. Slow your roll. You're the Lakers. Take down the sign that says, we'll work for food, and stop selling oranges on the freeway. You're the Lakers. You can make this trade. Make the deal. You got to get a third team involved, and everybody keep their senses and stop all the madness. Because in the words of Del Harris, that's whack. That's horrible. I'm out.
KC, Rackham, that's an old school guy right there. If he's that's resetting whack. Del Harris, right? That's whack.
That's whack.
A lot of what he says is true. Look, I understand why they're trying to get AD. I think AD is all that. He might not be an MVP, but he's a perennial MVP candidate. He's a perennial All-Star. He's a Hall of Famer. He is a transcendent player. They need him. I understand why they want him. But that does not guarantee they're going to win at all. Just getting this guy does not guarantee they're going to win a ring. But not getting him essentially guarantees that they have no shot, honestly. Because if they don't get this guy, where does that leave you? That leaves you with a team of young players who are already jacked up mentally, thanks to Dell Demps, who then have to come back. And again, I made the point yesterday, just because you get to the trade deadline and you don't move doesn't mean it's all right. You still know that they dangled you. You still know that LeBron doesn't want to run with you. You're still wounded. You're still butthurt. And then, even if they've got that spot to sign a max player, that doesn't mean they're going to get a max player. So if they don't get this guy, who are they going to get? Kevin Mawai, next hour. Stay tuned. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. We're banging telephone calls. Where'd he come out on?